Just for a few minutes, I want to think with you about this first sermon that was preached in the church. This was a day called the Day of Pentecost. It was the day that is regarded as the birthday of the church. And since then, many, many sermons, I guess, many messages have been preached with the label Christian. Sadly, not every message has been preached has genuinely been Christian. For a message to be a true Christian message, it has to be faithful to what the Bible says. And so my task is every time I speak to you, is to speak to you not about what I think, what my opinions are, what my views are, but to speak to you clearly and simply from the Bible so that you might know the Word of God. When you take a message from the Bible, it's God himself who speaks to us. My job is to get out of the way, not to be here as an individual, doing whatever I would do in any other setting. My job is to get out of the way and simply to bring to you a message from God as we find it in his word, the Bible. And this first ever sermon by Peter, it was preached early in the morning after a truly supernatural event, which was the Holy Spirit descending from heaven upon this small company of people. And that attracted a crowd in Jerusalem, going about their business, huge people singing early in the morning. It was their king. About 800 years earlier, David, one of their greatest kings. Peter wants to tell them about David, and this is what he says. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you about our hero, David. Now, he is both dead and buried, and his tomb remains with us even to this day. Now, I don't know much about that, but Peter's telling us that King David's tomb could still be visited in Jerusalem at that time. And then what Peter says is this: David was not only a king, he was a prophet. Now, a prophet is someone whom God speaks to directly, and God shows to this person what his plans are. So King David, also a prophet, was shown by God that one of his descendants would be Jesus Christ. And so David saw this 800 years before it happened from God himself, that the Son of God would become human through David's line, if you like, become a man and live among us. Now listen to what Peter goes on to say. David, who foresaw this, what he wanted everybody to know is the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Now, I think that's quite amazing to you, that when David the king sees into this future plan and purpose of God, and he sees a person, he sees this great person, Jesus Christ, God's servant, God's son, he sees him coming into our world, taking our nature, living our life. What David then emphasizes is his resurrection. We've just gone through Easter, haven't we? The resurrection. And that's what Peter is focusing our attention on. This first Christian sermon, it wasn't about the need to bring the Roman Empire to an end. It wasn't about the need to bring war to an end or about famine. It wasn't about any of those things that so often today pass themselves off as Christian messages. It was a message about a person, Jesus Christ, and his resurrection. Now, of course, built into that must be the idea that Jesus Christ would die. You can't be resurrected unless you've died. And so David is seeing all these centuries earlier, as God helped him to see, that this great person, Jesus Christ, would die, and then he would be raised from the dead. I think this is wonderful that the first Christian sermon was about the resurrection of Jesus. And I don't want any of you thinking, oh, well, Neil, you know, fair enough, that's 2,000 years ago. Such simple people lived there. Not very scientific, not very educated, not very clever. Well, hold on a second. This is the world of Rome. It's the world of Greek philosophy. It's the world of classical scholarship. It's a world that was educated and sophisticated just like ours. But it's a message of resurrection. Jesus Christ, David's descendant of royal blood, would die and would be raised from the dead. And Peter says this. When he died, his soul wasn't to be left in hell, nor did his dead body decay. God wouldn't allow that. God raised him up. God is the God who raised Jesus, his son, from the dead. He is alive from the dead. Now again, don't start thinking about all these simple folk back then. This is the message of the Christian church. It's the message from the very beginning that Jesus Christ, God's son, was raised from the dead by God. He's alive. He then returned to heaven, where he is at the right hand of God, a place of authority and power and honor and glory. And from heaven, Jesus Christ rules and reigns for his glory. Peter spends verse after verse in this sermon talking about, declaring, proclaiming, rejoicing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then you come to the bit which cut very deep into the hearts and the minds and the consciences of those who were listening to him. Peter says this, "Now let all of you know that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, he has made him both Lord and God." Now that's an amazing verse, because it's not some kind of, it's not a kind of, you know, little talk that Peter's giving. Peter isn't just entertaining them for an hour. He's not giving some kind of little speech that you forget about as soon as you leave the building or whatever they were. Peter is saying, now listen to me. This subject of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most vital thing. It's the most important thing. It's the most urgent thing that you'll ever hear about. There is nothing greater, nothing of more significance than the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And you, he says, to the people who've been gathering because of all the noise, you were the ones who crucified him not so long ago, on that Friday. You found him guilty of no crime and sentenced him to death. And you were the ones who stood by and watched him as he carried his cross through the streets of Jerusalem, walked out of the city, stood on a hill, nailed to the cross. You were the ones who did all this to Jesus Christ, David's descendant, the royal king. And Peter, it's hard to, for me at least, to show you clearly, because in the Greek text, and the New Testament is written in Greek, the emphasis is on you. And you can almost imagine Peter there, full flow, declaring the resurrection of Jesus, and he comes like a hammer blow, and he says, you guys, you crucified him. And then there's the but God has raised him from the dead, and he is alive, and he is both Lord and he is God. Now that had an effect on his audience, and people began to feel in their consciences uncomfortable. They began to feel troubled. There was this inside of them sense that God was speaking to them and that a response was required. It wasn't a case of waiting for this guy to shut up, hoping it'll all be over soon. There was in the consciences of the listeners this conviction that they must do something. What is it that they can do? And so Peter gives this wonderful verse, which is the basis of what we are doing today. Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of this Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened. Many of them were baptized, and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, what does that mean? What does it mean then for a person like Lydia, who's to be baptized today? What it means is this: the person has already, not today now, before today, the person has already believed in Jesus Christ. So Lydia has already come to faith. She's come to believe and trust in the person of Jesus Christ herself. That inner conviction, that sense that I must respond to the message of God, it's happened in Lydia's heart and conscience. And the response then is faith, trust, belief in Jesus Christ. That's already been the case. So Lydia's already somebody whose sins are forgiven, who has peace with God, who has everlasting life through Jesus Christ. And so, having done so, baptism becomes a public acknowledgement of faith in Jesus Christ. It's a sign of the covenant, the agreement between God and us through his son Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. God makes that promise, and baptism is a sign of the promise. It's a bit like a wedding ring. You've made a commitment to somebody and you wear a wedding ring as a sign. Baptism is a sign of the relationship that Lydia now has with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is an acknowledgement publicly of your faith. And baptism is how a person then comes into the life of the church. So after today, Lydia will become a member of the church and becomes acknowledged as part of the body of Christ, which is our congregation. So this first Christian message is one that I seek to remain faithful to. It's one that sometimes isn't easy to remain faithful to, because there's so much pressure in society. There's so much anti-church feeling. Many people have never been inside a church building. And so the message of resurrection of Jesus from the dead is one that feels strange, but it's always been strange. It's this supernatural event. God sent his only son into our world to live amongst us, to live a perfect life, keeping all the law of God. And then he died for our sins upon the cross and was raised from the dead. And I love this, that the message is resurrection. It's a message that death is defeated. It's a message that there is more that comes after death. There's the kingdom of God that lies in wait for those who believe in Jesus Christ. It's from God himself that a person is to repent, turn your life in the direction of God, believe in his son, Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And of course, what I've noticed over the years, it's very strange. Let me finish with this. Over the years, I've been puzzled by one thing amongst many. And that is, sometimes a person will come into a building like this, come to this particular building maybe, hear me bring a message from God, and a person, it makes no impression on them at all. Absolutely none. And then there are other times when a person will come in and feel almost from the start a sense of uncomfortableness, and God is speaking to me. Somebody I know who doesn't come now, but he came a few times, and he said, I felt there was a huge arrow pointing at me, saying, you were the one who should repent and believe. And he said, I didn't like it. And I didn't like it so much that I don't want to go back. What I'm hoping for, and what I'm praying for, and what the church is praying for, is that all of us hear a message from God that says, repent and believe, turn to God, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll feel it in our consciences, in our minds, in our hearts. We'll be convicted of its truth. We'll see it for ourselves. And we'll make that response that Peter called for. We'll believe, be baptized at some point, and be saved. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you for this very first church sermon. And Lord, we are ashamed and sorry that throughout the history of the church, there have been many sermons that have not been faithful to the Bible. There have been many speakers who've given their own opinions, given their own experiences, talked about stuff that's going on every day, rather than declaring the truth of God as found in the Bible. But Lord, we do thank you that you have enabled us to hear not just the first sermon preached, but also what it means for today. That from the beginning, the message is Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Your Son, our God, your eternal Son, taking our nature, living our life, dying upon the cross. That wasn't allowed to be the end. It was impossible that death should have the last word over your Son, Jesus. And so you raised him, our God, from the dead. He is alive. Peter met him on the resurrection day. Others met him alive from the dead. And he is now returned to heaven, and he is in glory again. Lord, this isn't just some theory then. It's not a little talk that we forget as soon as we've heard it. It's a message from God that calls for a response. And Lord, you're calling all of us to respond, even as we sit here this morning. Lord, you're calling for a response from each of us that we might repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So grant grace then and help and strength that we might hear your word and that we might respond to it. In Jesus' name, amen.